A young man, 18, is in a courtroom, hears his name called out by the judge. He walks to the front of the courtroom, stands before the bench. Judge starts to share all the different charges against this young man. Possession of drug paraphernalia, public intoxication, driving without a license. "What do you plead?" judge says. The young man declares guilty. The judge starts to give the young man his options: community service, jail time, drug program, hefty fines. And behind this young man is his father, who's embarrassed and frustrated. And in the back of the courtroom is his mother, who's silently crying over the mistakes of her son. How did they get here? Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? Young mother in her 30s, wife, has two small kids. She served papers at her home. She scans the document of the papers that she's received and she understands what it is. Her husband wants a divorce. He wants to move on to someone else. Just sign here at the dotted line and we can move on and act like it didn't happen. 12 years of marriage down the drain, and all of a sudden she starts to cry. She starts to panic. What am I going to do? How am I going to provide for my children? Will I even have custody of my children, or will he try to get them? Should I find a job? Can I stay in this house, or do I need to sell this house and go somewhere else? What's going to happen in the future? And how did they get here? Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? A group of elders are meeting late at night. Older men who love their church, but they're very anxious. The membership has declined. They don't have enough money to pay all their bills. There's no young people in the church anymore, no young families, and it feels as if there's no future. The elders are anxious and nervous because they don't know if they can keep things going much longer. They don't know if they can keep the doors open of the church. And all they hear from their current members is complaints and disagreements and a longing for the good old days. How did they get here? And why is this happening? Why is this taking place? The people of Israel, God's people, an eagle that is hovering over them, a vulture that is circling this group of people ready to pounce on the dead carcass of Israel. Assyria, the great superpower of the ancient Near East, is ready to expand, ready to grow their kingdom, and they have Israel right in their sights. It's just a matter of time before Israel is taken over by this great superpower. The people are all scared. The priests don't know what to say. The king is not trustworthy, and he's not effective. It just seems as if the future is bleak, and that pretty soon the land is going to be conquered. How did they get here? Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? These are the questions that the people of Israel were asking when we turn our attention to Hosea chapter 8. That they could see the writing on the wall. They knew what was going to happen, that Assyria was going to come and was going to take revenge on them. And they thought, why is this happening to us? How did we get here? They even start to cry out to God, as it says in chapter 8, verse 2. Oh God, we know you. Why are you allowing this to happen to your people? And so Hosea's job in Hosea chapter 8 is to try to explain to the people of Israel why this is happening and how they got here and why this is taking place. And the way that Hosea does this is he teaches them a principle. And that principle is sowing and reaping. God placed this principle into our world. In fact, it's even mentioned in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man sows what he reaps." It's a simple principle. It's an agricultural principle. Here's the idea behind it, that what you sow in the ground is what you're going to reap out of the ground. What you put into the ground is what you're going to get that comes out of the ground. And so, for example, if you sow watermelon seeds in the ground, church, what are you going to reap? Watermelons. You got the principle. If you sow cannas, we have cannas at our house. If you sow cannas, what are you going to reap? A whole bunch of cannas. If you sow Bermuda grass seed, what kind of grass are you going to reap? Under normal circumstances. But you got the idea. What you put in the ground is what you're going to reap out of the ground. If you don't put anything in the ground, you're not going to reap anything from the ground. And don't expect to reap something that you haven't sown. Don't expect for watermelons to grow when you've been planting beans. Don't expect to grow some wonderful cucumbers when you've been planting corn. It doesn't work like that. They're connected. What you sow is what you reap. They're connected. And Hosea begins to explain this principle to the people of Israel. You realize that you're getting ready to reap judgment. You realize that you're getting ready to experience destruction as Assyria is going to come and destroy you. You're wondering how you got here. Well, let's look at what you've sown. Let's look at what you've put in the ground. Here's a couple things you put in the ground, Hosea says. Number one, you've put up kings without God's consent. The last six kings for the northern kingdom of Israel lasted a total of 40 years. Now that's kind of fascinating because the previous king before those last six, his whole reign lasted 40 years. So the fact that six kings lasted a total of 40 years, it tells us that there was some incredible stuff going on. There were assassinations, there were conspiracies, there were coups. Everybody trying to develop their own dynasty, everybody trying to get power, everybody trying to get rule. And through all of that struggle, nobody ever stopped to ask the Lord what he wanted to see happen. They put up a lot of kings, they put up a lot of princes, but nobody asked God what he wanted. And then Hosea said, number two, you worshiped idols. You made idols for yourselves. It almost became a business. You made these idols so that you could start worshiping the idols. He's probably referring to some of the idols that were made in Dan and Bethel, where they made these golden calves. And they made this syncretistic religion where you could worship God by worshiping these calves, and you could also worship Baal. And the reason why they set up that kind of religion is because when you worship idols, the worshiper is in control. When you worship the Almighty God, God is in control. And because they wanted to be in control, they kept worshiping other idols and they kept participating in idol worship. And Hosea says, that's what you've sown. And then number three, Hosea says, you've tried to make alliances with other nations. When trouble came into Israel's life, when they had a problem going on in their national life, they didn't turn to God. They turned to Egypt, and they turned to Syria, and they turned to the southern kingdom of Israel, and they turned to Assyria itself. They turned to all these other nations. Hosea said, you're kind of like this dove that just flies around and goes over here for a little while, then it goes over here for a little while, it goes over here for a little while, thinking that if I go to the right place, maybe I will find someone who can fix the problems in my life instead of going to the one who can do that, which is God. You never did that. Hosea said, that's what you've sown. These are the things you've put in the ground. This is what you've planted. And because of what you've sown, this is what you're reaping. Maybe a good way to sum up everything that Hosea was trying to say is found in chapter 8, verse 7, where Hosea says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. They've run after things that are like the wind. They've chased the wind. They've chased emptiness. They've chased things of no value. They've chased things that are not worth anything at all. And if that's what you chase, if that's what you sow, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap a whirlwind. And so Hosea says to Israel, you're wondering how you got here. You're wondering why this is happening. Look to your past. Because the things that you have sown in your past have brought you to this point. What you have placed in the ground, you are now reaping the result of it. Because you chased the wind, you are now reaping the whirlwind. In church, it's very dynamic. It's still in play today. Still today, people sow, people reap what they sow. This past Tuesday, when we were having our food pantry and we were having our pantry devotional time, Dan and I were talking with this gentleman who came, one of our neighbors who came to get food. And this whole idea came up in our conversation. I guess probably because I was thinking about my sermon. The whole idea came up in our conversation. We started talking, and the man began to tell us, he said, back in the late 90s, he said, I sowed some things. And still today, I'm reaping the negative consequences of what I sowed. He said, back in the late 90s, I was involved in drug and alcohol addiction. And he said, even though now I'm clean, even though now I've gotten a job, even though now I've tried to live the right way, he said, I still have not been able to reconcile with people in my family because of what happened back in the 90s. He sowed some things way in the past, and because of that, he's still reaping what he sowed. The dynamic is still in play. We reap what we sow. That's what happens. The mess of our present is always because of the seeds in our past. The mess of our present is always because of the seeds in our past. When we wonder that question, how did we get here? We, like Israel, we need to look to our past. And we need to remember, well, what happened in our past? What seeds have we sown? That young man, 18 years of age, standing before the judge, he's not there because of what happened last weekend. He's there because of seeds that were sown for years. Seeds like his parents not paying attention to him. His parents not giving him boundaries. Seeds like making wise decisions on who your friends are. Learning how to say no. Because he didn't do those things for years, for a long time. Now he's reaping what has been sown. That young wife and mother who gets the papers, realizing that her husband wants a divorce. That's not happening because of what happened last week. That's happening because of seeds that were sown years ago. Seeds like not spending time together as a couple, of choosing career over family. Seeds like letting temptations come into the marriage and other things that we can imagine. Because those seeds were sown for years. Now she's reaping what has been sown. It's the same way with those elders who are meeting late at night. They're anxious, not because of what happened last month, but because of seeds that were sown for years, maybe in some cases decades. Seeds like not engaging the community, not learning to become relevant to the neighborhood, not learning how to develop a spirit of unity and peace, not having an outward focus, and many other things we could talk about, but because those seeds have been sown, now they're reaping what has been sown. That principle is still in play, and when we start to reap a mess, it's not because of what happened yesterday or last week or even last season. It's because of seeds that have been sown for years, for years. There's a contemporary Christian song written by Casting Crowns that talks about this very idea. The song is called Slow Fade, Slow Fade. And let me just read to you the words of the chorus of that song. This is what the song says. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. When black and white are turned to gray and thoughts invade, decisions are made and a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Israel didn't crumble in a day. That's what Hosea was trying to explain. you're in this mess, it's not because you did something bad last week. That's what Israel was thinking. Oh, God, we know you. Let us put a little sacrifice on the altar and everything will be okay, right? And Hosea says, no, it will not be okay because you're not crumbling because of a day. It's been a slow fade. You've planted seeds for years. You've planted seeds for decades, seeds of unrighteousness, seeds of things, wanting after things that are of no use and no value. And now you're reaping the result of it. You're reaping the result of what you've sown. It's been a slow fade. And it's the same way for each one of us. It's a slow fade for us. As we start to reap, sow things that we shouldn't sow, we start to reap a mess because of what we've done in our past. And so the question that this brings to us is, what are you sowing? I think Hosea chapter 8, it raises this question for each one of us in our lives. What are you sowing right now? Because you're going to reap what you sow. What are you sowing in your walk with God? Are you spending time in prayer with the Lord? Are you reading God's word on a regular basis? Are you worshiping with the body of Christ? Are you serving the Lord? Are you trying to develop a passionate desire to be one of God's people? Or have you grown distant from the Lord? Have you started to forget who the Lord is, and you're not pursuing him and you're not seeking him? Because whatever it is that you're sowing in your walk with God, you will reap what you sow. What are you sowing in your relationships? What are you sowing in your marriage or with your children? What are you sowing with your friendships? Are you making sure that you're spending time with one another so that you can build up that relationship and that friendship? Are you making sure that those relationships are pointing one another to Jesus? Are you spending time with your children to teach them the ways of the Lord and to teach them to love the Lord with all of their heart and soul? What are you sowing in your relationships? What are you sowing in your marriage? What are you sowing in your family? Because you will reap what you sow. What are we sowing as a church? What kind of habits are we cultivating as a church? What kind of practices are we doing as a church? Are we worshiping the Lord? Are we seeking the Lord's will? Are we trying to follow where he's leading us? Are we trying to evangelize? Are we trying to join together to reach the lost in our neighborhood? What seeds are we sowing as a church? Because if we're not sowing good seeds, we will reap what we sow. That's the message of Hosea 8. That the question is, what are we sowing? Because whatever it is we're sowing, we're going to reap it. And if we sow seeds of unrighteousness, we're going to reap a mess. But if we sow good seed, we'll reap good things as well. Now, some of you know exactly what Hosea chapter 8 is all about. You know exactly what I'm talking about because maybe you're in the middle of a mess right now. You're in the middle of a mess, and you know why you're in that mess. It's because of seeds that you've sown in your past, and now you're reaping them in your present. You know that. You understand it. And the question for each one of you is, what do I do now? What do I do now that I'm in this mess? What's the next steps I'm to take? I know that I sowed bad things in my past. What do I do now in my present? And that was a situation that Israel was in, and Hosea offers a word to them. Notice what Hosea says in chapter 10, verse 12. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. I love this verse because he's writing this verse to the people of Israel. I mean, they needed to hear this verse like 40 years earlier, right? They should have heard this decades earlier that they need to sow seeds of righteousness. Right now, they're in trouble. Assyria is getting ready to destroy them. I mean, it's just a matter of time before things are going to go south and the land's going to be conquered. And yet still, Hosea says, here's what you do. In the middle of your mess, in the middle of the mess that you have caused, here's what you do. Start right now sowing seeds of righteousness. Someone, or a Chinese proverb says that the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. But the second best time to plant a tree is now. You know, the best time for Israel to sow seeds of righteousness, it was 20 years ago, 20 years earlier, 40 years earlier. That's when they should have been sowing seeds of righteousness, but they weren't. But the second best time was right now. The best time to sow seeds of righteousness in your marriage was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Best time to sow seeds of righteousness for your children was when they were born, and even before that. The best time to sow seeds of righteousness for us as a church is 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago. But the second best time for all of us to start sowing seeds of righteousness is right now. Start now. Start now sowing seeds of righteousness, because you will reap what you sow. Some of the most hardest working partners here at Southside are James and Clara Lee. And they aren't here today so we can talk about them. No, I asked them if I could talk about them. And they said yes. They are so hardworking. They're involved in so many wonderful things. They're involved in the New Life Behavior Ministry with Abode. They're involved with our tutoring program on Tuesday nights. They're involved in the food pantry. They're involved in picking people up for church. I mean, they're just always doing great things. But what you might not know about them is a little bit of their story. That there was a time in their life where they just quit the church. They just quit. Wasn't any particular reason. Just got involved in other things. Quit attending worship. Quit reading their Bibles. Just got involved in their careers and just did other things. And then about 5 years ago, Clara was going to have to be taking care of her mother. And she knew her mother would want to come to church. And so they started searching for a church that they could go to. And they found Southside. They came here and they never left. And they renewed their walk with the Lord, and they started getting busy serving. Well, I've talked with James and Claire about that several times. And James and Claire have told me, they said, we wish so much that we had done this 20 years ago or 30 years ago. They said, we wish we had done it then. And they've told me that because of some of the seeds that they sowed 20 years ago and 30 years ago, they've reaped the negative consequences of those seeds. But the good news is that right now, they are sowing seeds of righteousness. And they will reap what they're sowing. God will bless them for what they're doing. And so no matter what your story is, no matter what your history is, no matter if you're in the middle of a mess or not, the message of Hosea is start now, right now. Today is the day to start sowing seeds of righteousness. Do it right now, because God will bless you for it. And you'll reap what you sow. And for some of us, what that means is during our invitation time, which we're going to have in just a moment, our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. It means walking over to one of our ministers or one of our elders and saying, pray for me, or pray for my marriage, or pray for my family, or pray for my walk with the Lord. And I know it's hard to do that. I know that takes a little bit of courage to ask one of your spiritual leaders to pray for you and to confess some sin or to confess some things in your life. I know it's hard to do that. But here's the hope in that. As you're doing that, you are sowing a seed of righteousness. You're placing in the ground something that is of God, and God's going to bless you for it. There are others of us that we need to take the step of baptism. Having our sins washed away and God's Spirit placed inside of us, becoming a part of the family of God. And I know it takes a little courage to walk up to the front and say, I want to be baptized, and stand up in front of all of this church and say, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be immersed in water. It takes a little courage to do that. But here's the good news in that. Here's the hope in that. When you are buried in that water, you are planting a huge seed of righteousness. And God's going to bless you for it. You reap what you sow, church. And so let's start today planting seeds of righteousness. Let's stand at this time. Let's have our invitation. If we can help you, please come now. Let's stand and sing.